Good morning, everyone. I am Darlene Rains. I am your liturgist for the day. And we are blessed that everyone is worshiping with us. And we welcome everyone, including children, young people. And our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith and action. We've got a few announcements and a few things coming up this week. The finance team and church council will jointly meet on Tuesday the 21st, starting at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. And the roofing project has been completed, and I know everybody's happy to hear that, especially maybe the pastor and his family not hearing all that noise. But anyway, what a blessing that it is completed, and thanks to everyone who contributed to have this project finished. Especially Greg and the trustees and the United Methodist men, and they all coordinated an effort that came to a good conclusion. We're going to have a new ministry called Visitation Team that will assist and complement our pastor in visitation and focusing on addressing the community's needs, such as isolation and loneliness. If you're interested in joining, just contact Laura Young, and her number is listed in the bulletin. Next Sunday, the fourth Sunday in July, I can't believe it, Journey will meet, and they will have a good time, I'm sure.
It's a family picnic that day.
Oh, family picnic. So if you are part of the Journey and part of that family, you'll be invited to attend. And also, Pastor Edgar is going to lead an acolyte training on the 30th of July.
We've got three kids now.
Three have been shown interest in becoming acolytes. Also, this week, Pastor Edgar is going to be out of town on the 20th through the 23rd. He's going to be attending a convocation, and that will be in Salter Path, North Carolina. And if you need pastoral care or just whatever, during these days, Gary Dickerson and Jenny Wilson will be assisting. I have Gary's number, and I also have Jenny's number listed. But Gary's number is, I think, available. If you need it, you just call me, and I can give it to you. It's not listed in our bulletin today. Of course, Wednesday night is our online prayer meeting, and we'll follow next Sunday with Awakenings Church School and Sunday School worship. And then, of course, Journey will meet. Are there other announcements from the congregation today?
We have a book club at 4:15 today.
Yes, we do. That's good. All right, Ron.
Darlene, in reference to Journey next week, since we're inviting parents, guardians, and other siblings,
yeah. So Ron has asked if the family and is coming with you to Journey, please confirm to either Laura or him the number that will be attending so they can plan the food and buy an appropriate amount to cover for the next Sunday's picnic. Let's see, is there anything else? I think today the group will be studying Hannah. Is that right?
Right. And again, if you don't have the book, you're welcome to come because I'm sure that you would enjoy the conversation we'll be having.
Yeah, so Susan says if you don't have the book, just still feel free to come and attend. So if there are no other announcements, we will follow with our call to worship. And I'll be the leader, and if you will respond as the people. In the midst of strife, God is with us.
Come, Lord, and pour your word into our hearts.
In the anguish and grief of everyday living, God is with us.
Hear our cries, O Lord, and quiet our spirits.
Come, let us open our hearts and spirits to the Lord.
We We come with confidence and hope in the presence of God.
And now, if you will join with me in our opening prayer. Caretaker of our souls, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all of our ways. Your Spirit hems us in, behind and before. You discern our thoughts from afar. If we take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead us, and your might shall hold us fast. Breathe your Spirit upon us and claim us as children of light, that we might be found worthy of your love and care. Amen. And now, as you are able, please join us in our gathering hymn, Victory in Jesus, found on page 370 in our United Methodist hymnal. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may all be seated. Good morning, church. Welcome again in our season of Pentecost. We are now on our eighth Sunday. Can you imagine? We're now on the eighth Sunday in the season that all began on Pentecost Day. And we have been reminded that Pentecost is not a one-time experience. Our Pentecost is a journey. It's a journey of us coming alongside with the Holy Spirit for what he had done, what he is doing, and what he's continued to do in our lives. So we are Pentecost people. Isn't that amazing to hear that we have this gift of the Holy Spirit among us? And then with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that we cannot do. Amen? If God is with us, who can be against us? So thanks be to God for that promise and for that gift of the Holy Spirit. And we also welcome those that are able to worship with us online. We have a good number of folks that are connecting with us online. So we are grateful that you're able to join with us here in our communal worship. I'm glad that we're still connected, right, Scott? Everything. I saw a thumbs up there from Scott. The last few weeks, we're having a little crash on our connection. But thank God we're doing it with smoothness today. So just put your name there. We're glad to acknowledge your presence among us here today. How many of you just had a blessed week this past week? We got rain. Are we blessed to have rain this past week? Let's open this time for any other blessing of God and thanksgiving in our hearts. What are we grateful to God this past week? Prayer gathering this past week. Thank you so much, Susan. Thank you for those that have come and participated. And I got a call from Ethan afterwards, thanking God for allowing him to come here all the way from Burlington to join with us. And also Pastor Bailey from our community that came. He was so honored to be part of this prayer community. He is so grateful that to know that this church is a prayerful church. And I'm deeply grateful for that. Any thanksgiving, other?
I took care of that Chuck's house while they were on vacation. I didn't burn their house down.
Well, that's a blessing.
That's a blessing. And speaking of the house, I'm deeply grateful for the roofing project that was accomplished by God through each one of you. Shall we thank God for the roofing project that we... I'm deeply grateful for the Methodist men, for the Board of Trustees. And Greg, where are you? Greg, just raise up your hand. He's very kind not to be put on spotlight there. But thank you, Greg, for leading the fundraising for our campaign for that. Thank you for the prayers that you have offered. I believe the roof will last by the grace of God for the next 50 more years. Is that right, Scott? Hope so, by the grace of God. In times of joy, we come also in times of pain and sufferings. And any concerns that in our hearts that we want to lift up, that we need to pray for. I've been in constant communication with Karen Driver. You probably got my prayer request to lift up his son, her son, Dave, in your prayers. He lives in Florida, and he has a host of different health issues, particularly kidney problems. And so we pray with her over the phone, and let's pray for Karen as well, who's also taking care of David, her husband David as well. Are there any other concerns that we want to lift up?
Pastor Decker,
yes, Bane.
A co-worker of mine and someone that I consider a good friend passed away last night. He's got a very short illness. His name is Danny Hudson. He's a man.
Danny Hudson. Family of Danny Hudson has been lifted up in prayers. Thank you, Wayne, for sharing that to us. Brian still have health issues. We pray with him at the men's breakfast today. So thank you for lifting up Brian Bobbitt. Yeah, I was with Pam and Abner last night at the dinner church at Bethel. And also Brian was at the men's breakfast today. We also lifted up Pam and her family in our prayers. As you all know, Pam's father, David Howell, passed away this mid of June. And we've been lifting up their family in our thoughts and in our prayers. This past week, I also had an opportunity to reconnect with our new district superintendent, Reverend Dr. Gloria Winston, who is very excited to come to journey alongside with the people of God here in the Heritage District, and that includes Bethel and Plank Chapel Church. And one thing that I have learned from her is the power of beginning this ministry grounded in prayer. She's starting a ministry just to pray every week, a rhythm for all the pastors to come at 6 o'clock in the morning every week to pray for our concerns, the concerns of the church, and the concerns of our communities and around the nation and around the world. She's very excited to come here and to engage in conversation and to listen to your needs. And I just want to share that to you all this morning to keep her in your prayers. I'm deeply grateful for your continuing prayers as I continue to heal from my kidney stone. Thank God I am getting there. So let's offer all these prayers to God as you join with me at this time. Most gracious and loving God, first and foremost, I want to thank you for the gift of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, oh God, that we are not alone. We are grateful that we are in this together. Whether in times of joys and in times of pain and suffering, you constantly remind us that you're always there with us, first and foremost. And we have the body of Christ called the church that is there with us. And I want to thank you for each and everyone that is here this morning, both in person and those that are able to worship with us. It is said that confession is good for the soul. But there are times, O Lord, when we just don't want to confess. That we just don't want to own up to the many ways in which we have failed you. And we failed our call of being your disciples. Or rather, faithful disciples. We have turned our backs on those in need. We have sought after power and riches, our own wants, our own desires, believing that these things can bring through fulfillment or happiness in life. But Lord, you know us far too well. You know every strand of our hairs. You know every thought that in our minds, every movement. You know the depth of our hearts. And you know what is within our hearts and within our spirits. And you seek the very best for us. That we might not just try, but grow to be fruitful plants in your garden. So Father God, be with us. Forgive us when we have failed you many times. Forgive us when we have failed to love and treat one another with respect and with compassion. Forgive us when we turn blind eyes on what's happening across our communities in our world. And turn our hearts back towards you, who always reaches out to us with unconditional healing and love and grace. Help us to be one body in Christ. Help us be united, Lord, as one people of God. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, whose name we call and pray the prayer that he invites us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever. Let's continue to be in silent confession at this time. Great news has come to us, dear friends. God, who is faithful and just, who cherishes us as we are, seeks restoration and healing for those broken places in our lives, forgives and loves us unconditionally. Therefore, receive that good news. Thanks be to God. Amen. Indeed, with songs of joy in our mouths and songs of praise for our God, I invite us all to greet one another and share the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding to your neighbors at this time.
Thank you.
There are two short stories that I just want to share this morning before we have our tithes and offering. Oh, I believe that Wednesday or Tuesday, when there's a big sound of the thing on the roof, started in the morning about 7 o'clock. And of course, that was the roofing guys coming in at the parsonage. And they began what had been a big task of changing all the shingles in the parsonage and replacing it with new ones. And I met Ruben. I met this wonderful team. And I'm glad they work as a team. And what is amazing is that they were able to accomplish the project in 2 days' time. Isn't that amazing? And then on the one side of that story, I had one of our church members knock on the door, and she handed out to me this cantaloupe. Out from her heart, she came from the farmer's market, and she said, "Pastor, I brought you this cantaloupe." I share these two beautiful stories to you to remind them that whatever the project is, whether it's big or small, it's an expression of God's generosity. I'm privileged as a real pastor to experience that myself, on how we see the church at its best. Plank Chapel is a generous church. We saw that in this project that was so huge. And through all of your gifts, God was able to channel His blessing through each one of you to accomplish. And that small act of a cantaloupe being given to the pastor, it made me cry that morning when I received that gift. Generosity of people of Plank Chapel comes in small and in big sizes. But no matter what, God has seen it. And He knows what is in our hearts. Amen? So thank you. Thank you, Plank Chapel, for continually demonstrating what it means to be generous, big and small. May we invite our ushers as we offer our gifts to God at this time. Oh, gracious and generous God, indeed, You are a God of small things and big things. You gave us small things and big things to remind us that You are a God of all the many blessings in our lives. We thank You, God, for the gift of this church. We thank You that we have seen the mighty power of Your Spirit, O Lord, when God's people united themselves and come together to fulfill Your mission. In our own way, we offer these tithes and offering to You. Bless all the gifts that were given and all the many hands that have given these gifts, an expression of our love for the one whom we cannot outgive. In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, we offer these gifts. Amen. Please remain standing as we join yet another hymn, 174. You may all be seated. As we get ready to hear the word of God this morning, I invite us all to join with me at this time for the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture lesson is found on Apostle Paul's writing to the Corinthian community on 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bible with you, please open it up on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is our familiar words that we probably have heard many times. Metaphor of being one body with many members. We're going to be reading from the 12th verse. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need these. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffer, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning we are continuing our sermon series on Better Together. For the last couple of weeks, we've been studying what it means to be together. And the Bible reminds us that our personal journey is just as important as our collective experiences that thrives on togetherness. It is my hope and my prayer that throughout this series, we will all be challenged to foster relational connections within and outside of the church, that we may have a very deep understanding of what it means to be the church today and to reach out with more intentionality and say, we want you to be part of this being together, in the hope that we can build authentic relationships that connects people with the love and with the grace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Holy God, we thank you, Lord, for this blessing of being in your holy ground. I want to thank you for those who are here in person and those that are worshiping with us online. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations in our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight. You, San Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you seen geese flying on V formation before? Isn't that fascinating? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I saw one. And I tried to dig in and made a little bit study of why geese made the V formation. First and foremost, they made their V formation when they are migrating. And this serves for several purposes. The V formation improves their efficiency over long migratory routes. They conserve their energies. Each bird flies slightly higher above the bird that is in front of him, resulting in a reduction of the wind resistance. Can you imagine that? Each bird flies in the upwash of wind from the bird in the front. And each bird has a reduction of drag, and they increase their range by about 71%. In other words, the V formation conserves the bird's energy and the efficiency of the energy consumption. As the bird flaps, the air rolls off the wingtip and creates a downwash, and the air behind it push upward. If you observe the flight pattern, almost always one side of the V is longer than the V formation. If a bird falls out of position in the V formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance, and the goose will quickly return to the proper formation. In other words, the geese can fly at a greater distance by sticking together. They protect and support each other. When geese grow tired and flying gets hard, their unity supports each other. They honk very loudly. Have you heard them honk very loudly? And do you know the reason why they honk very loudly? It's because they want to encourage each other to keep up with their pace, keep up with their speed and altitude, and even provides a sense of direction when someone is going astray or going to a different direction. Geese learn that they are stronger together than they are separately. One thing is definitely true. The geese are all in it together. Whether they are rotating positions, whether they're flapping their wings, or helping a sick goose, or simply honking, they flock together. They stick together, and they're able to accomplish far more than if they were trying to do it on their own. Friends, as God's creation, we find ourselves woven together. Not by accident, but by divine design. Each thread like this. Each strand, each fiber represents your unique individual. Your unique story. Your unique contribution to the body of Christ. And while each of you has its own unique color, you probably have a unique texture or unique strengths. You're all part of the same what? The same fabric. The same thread. We are all part of the same thread. We are all part of the same body. Apostle Paul, in this letter that we just heard, uses the human body as a metaphor to illustrate this principle. He speaks of the different parts of the body, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. Each of it has its own function. How many of you love biology in your high school days? I love biology. I love to study all different parts. Isn't that amazing how God designed us? We are all have all these different things. Hands and ears and feet. Each has its own function. Each with its own purpose. And Paul laid that out at the beginning of this scripture lesson this morning. The body is a unit on verse 12. Though it made up of many parts, And though its parts are many, they form one body. That in the midst of that complexity and diversity and differences of those functions and works of our body, they're seemingly like a symphony working together. Have you noticed that in your body? How they all coordinate with each other? Try to exercise, by the way, and you will see that in the morning. All parts of the body are in it together. My hand cannot go off and decide on its own thing. My foot cannot go one way and try to leave the rest of my body behind. My stomach cannot decide what it wants to control my breathing, nor it can my nose will decide to digest my food. The body just doesn't work like that. If it did, if each part of the body went off and did its own thing, I don't think you can do some hokey pokey or turn yourself around, nor would you even really be able to function. If the different parts of your body went off and did your own thing, let's say your hand will do their own thing and not the rest, I don't think it will be considered to be a body. And I saw that when I was there in the emergency room last week. I saw how my pain in my lower abdomen was felt. I felt it everywhere. I felt it from head to toe. And I'm sure for some of you here, you've been through that situation when you just have a toothache. You feel as if all your body were thrown out. And what is true to our human bodies is also true for the church. For after all, Paul tells us that body being a unit made up many parts. And he says this in part B of verse 12. So it is with Christ. Paul says here that each and every one of us, that means you and me, help make us the body of Christ. In other words, what he's saying is this, the church is that we are all in this together. From the newest baptized member of this church, all the way to the eldest member of this church, we are all in this together. And together we make up what we call the body of Christ, which is a very simple term for what church means. We make up a church here locally called the Plank Chapel, who stood for more than 240 plus years, who testified to the goodness and faithfulness of God and saying to this community that we are all in this together in the good times and tough times of life. That no matter what storms we may be in, no matter what struggles we may be in, we are all in this together. That one part is not as important as the other part. Because each has its own function. Each of you has its own role. And you are not undervalued. You are not minimized. All of us, all of you, form part of this one body called the church. But not only that. The text reminds us that we are part of a larger church called Connectional Church. We are part of the broader, bigger, that's what John Wesley says, we are connectional church. That means we are part of a bigger church, far bigger than Plank Chapel. And that we are part of the Heritage District. We're part of the annual conference. We're part of the jurisdictional conference. We're part of the global church. You know, our daughters, Christine and Lane, just came back from Ireland. And they attended this global gathering of all young people from all over the world. And that is the beauty about being part of a larger church. And then we're also part of the whole universal church of all Christians. We just confessed a few minutes ago the Apostles' Creed. That we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy what? Catholic. And that doesn't mean the church in Vatican. That means universal church. Which means the communion of saints. The many churches all across this community and beyond. In other words, what Paul is trying to say to us is that the church of Jesus Christ are together. We are all in this together. In fact, he says in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers in it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. When you get your finger pinched, the other members of your body are concerned, right? And they will rush to the aid. The other members of your body doesn't say to your finger, that's your problem, you figured it out. Likewise, if someone compliments you, then everybody rejoices in you. The same true for all of us. I'm sure that each of us had time when we were suffering. When we suffer, whether it be from something minor or something major, your fellow sisters and brothers in Christ should come to you and provide whatever aid they can. That's the beauty of being a part of a church, isn't it? I wonder how people can survive without the church. I wonder how can they able to navigate sufferings and pain and loss without the body of Christ with them. I've seen this church shine only this past week when you came alongside with me when I had that kidney stone, when you put the roofing on the roofing project in such a short time and raised that money. That was the shining moment of this church to once again testify what it means to be together. What it means to follow that image of the geese sticking on to one another and helping and supporting one another. The same true when we are rejoicing. When we had anniversaries here, you all remember those moments of remembering those times when we had this homecoming and remembering those moments of how this church was founded more than 240 plus years ago. And so how can we foster this gift of togetherness? What lessons can we learn from here that we can apply as we go out today to live our lives and to really be the church? I offer you several biblical principles, I would say. First, we must recognize and appreciate our differences. The Bible says, just as the eye cannot do what the hands does, and the hand cannot do what the foot does, church, we cannot all do the same thing. We all have different gifts, different talents and different abilities. And that's okay. In fact, it's more than okay. It's necessary. It makes the body function. As what the Bible describes, is what makes the body become stronger. It doesn't make one more important than the others, which becomes the second point that I want to raise. Because we need to recognize each other's diversity and differences of gifts and graces, we must value each other. Just as the body gives greater honor to the parts that lack, according to Apostle Paul, we must give greater honor to those who feel undervalued, underappreciated, and overlooked. We must lift each other up and encourage each other and affirm one another because we are all in this together. Thirdly, we must care for each other. According to the scripture, just as the body suffers when one part is hurt and rejoices when one part is honored, we must share in each other's joys and sorrows. We must bear each other's burdens. One of the best gifts that God had given to us is the gift of the church. I'm sure the church were there with you when you lost your loved ones. When you're in the emergency room, when you're holding hands with your families and your friends on the deathbed, When you are at loss and finding meaning and purpose in life, this church stood behind you. Thank this church. Amen? Celebrate the goodness of God through Plank Chapel Church. And for those that are disconnected, invite them in. Encourage them to reconnect themselves. And lastly, we must work together. You know, the geese is amazing. This geese bee formation is amazing. Because they can only be able to finish this migratory route if they stick to one another. Most of the geese will end up not be able to finish the race if they do it on their own. Friends, we function best as a church when we work together. We function best as a church when we put aside all of our differences, our disagreements, our disputes, our own personal thing, and rise above and say to ourselves, what is best for God's church? What is best for His mission? After all, this church called Plank Chapel belonged to Him. It doesn't belong to the pastor. It doesn't belong to any one of us. It belongs to Him. So whatever we do, whatever we don't do, will have an implication. And we will be held accountable to what we do and what we don't do. May we learn from the Word of God this morning of what it means to be together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said. In closing, our hymn of sending is found on 399. It's a beautiful hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. I invite us all to stand if you're able as we join this sending hymn. If you have any prayer concerns, you can use this altar. Let's all rise as we join our voices together.
Take my life and let it be. God's a great door to me. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow.
Indeed, may we learn from the lessons of the geese on how they were able to do it together. And most especially, may we learn from the Word of God this morning on what it means to be together. Because there is power amidst all of our diversity and differences. There's a power on coming together, on being on a united front. Because with God, nothing will be against us. Go forth and may we embrace the gift that God gave to us. The gift of the church, the oneness that comes in Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.